ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text 41, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON.
Generally very pious, elevated people are expected to take to devotional service. Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Yeshang tvantagatam papam jananang punyakarmanam te dandva moha nirmukta Bhajanti Mangdiravritaha, those who have executed pious activities in previous lives and in this life, and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage in my devotional service with determination. So by pious activities, one takes birth in what is considered an elevated family. The most elevated families are those of the Brahmanas, and the next level is that of the Kshatriyas or kings. Brahmanas, they automatically engage in the service of Krishna by their very upbringing. Of course, within the Vedic culture, there are different divisions of Brahmanas. Some are directly Vaishnavas. Others are Smartas or Shaivas, Ganapatyas, Shauryas, Shaktas. They're different. But all Brahmanas are enjoined to worship the Shalagram Shila. And even the Smartas, they recognize that the name of Lord Vishnu takes away all evils, give liberation. They also chant the name of Lord Vishnu. When our Krishna Consciousness movement, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, was brought back to India by Srila Prabhupada, many people were shocked to see Western people chanting Hare Krishna. And some people were very glad, and some people were not glad at all. They said, you can't be a Hindu. You're from a sinful background. You have to be born a Brahmin. Then only you can become a sadhu. Up to this time, the word sadhu, that always meant an Indian person, in their estimation. Not only Indian, but to be a guru or a sannyasi or to offer worship, yes, to study the scriptures, give instruction to others. According to the understanding prevalent, one had to be born in a Brahmin family. So the Western devotees of Krishna were not only not born in Brahmin families, but they were born in families of cow eaters, which is not a pious birth. So people thought this is a great sacrilege.
A great sacrilege.
I mean, it's like a blasphemy. That people coming from such a background, they shouldn't chant the name of Krishna. They should become purified first. As Krishna states in the Gita, those who come from purified backgrounds, they take to my devotional service. So that is the general case. Although anybody from any position can take to devotional service, if they are thus favored by Lord Krishna or his devotees. Because ultimately, to take to devotional service does not depend upon any previous karmic activities or pious activities, but that depends upon the mercy of the devotees. Now, someone from a pious background, they may be more eligible to take that, to be in a position to get that mercy. That's why the whole Varnashram system is meant for preparing people to receive the mercy of the devotees and thus take to devotional service. For instance, the Vedic literatures advise one to do pious activities by which one can be elevated to the heavenly planets. So they recommend plant trees on the side of the road so that travelers can be shaded, dig wells so that people can get water and thus be benefited, welcome guests in your home. And by these pious activities, you can be elevated to the heavenly planets and enjoy. Other things are there, go to the holy places, give cows in charity. Especially charity is advised to be given to the Brahmanas. Now, someone may plant the trees and he's thinking, I will get some pious benefit by which I will go to heaven. But if a Vaishnav walks on that road and he takes shade from the tree, the person who planted the tree gets the benefit of serving a Vaishnav. Even the person who planted the tree may have died long ago, but whichever position he's in within the universe, he gets the pious benefit of serving a Vaishnava. This is called Agyata Sukriti, unknown pious activity. So a person who in this way serves Vaishnavas, even unknowingly, their heart becomes purified. And as their heart becomes more purified, they become more ready to hear the message of devotion that is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sushusha Shadadhana Syat Vasudeva Kata Ruchihi Syat Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishivanat. That by serving the devotees, that is the best kind of service one can do. Because by that service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev, Krishna. So therefore, pious activities are recommended, by which one may gradually come to the position of devotional service. Whereas sinful activities harden the heart, killing animals, exploiting women, taking intoxication, these harden the heart and cover it with thick layers of ignorance, by which Krishna consciousness cannot be understood. So generally, pious people take to devotional service. But anyone from any position can take to devotional service. That is stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Who knows which verse I'm speaking about? Mang hi partha vipashritya ye pisyu papayonaha striyo vaishas tatha shudras tepi yanti parangatim. Krishna tells Arjuna that even those of lower birth can take to my service. He mentions also women, vaishyas, shudras. Women are mentioned because women don't usually directly worship the Lord. They can assist their husband in various religious activities. Here the word is given pati devataya, means that Suniti was very attached to her husband. And vaishyas, they're generally interested in money and acquisition of wealth. And shudras are less intelligent. But Krishna says, despite these disadvantages, if anyone takes to my devotional service, they can attain the supreme destination. He doesn't say they have to wait to be born as a brahmana. However, in the next verse, Krishna further states, King puna brahmana punya bhakta rajashyastata anityam asukam lokam imam prapriya bhajasvamam. He says, then what to speak of thee, those who are born as brahmanas and saintly kings? If they worship me, Even in this miserable material world, if they take to my worship, they will certainly attain to me. So the birth can certainly be an advantage. As Srila Prabhupada states in one purport in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that there are two conditions which are very favorable for becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. One is to be born in a family of devotees, and another is to get the blessings of a pure devotee. Those who are born in families of pure devotees, from the very beginning of life, they get the impression of devotional service. This purport is in connection with Parikshit Maharaj's birth and upbringing. Because Parikshit Maharaj was born in a family of great devotees. And generally, souls are sent to the wombs of mothers of like disposition. Generally, devotees, they give birth to devotees, and demons give birth to demons. So to be born in a family of devotees is a great advantage. However, if one doesn't take advantage of that opportunity, then he spoils it. We see that some of the sons of Advaita Acharya were great devotees and some were not. So many of us are thinking, oh, how I wish I could have had so much association with Prabhupada. And what about his family members who associated with him intimately for so many years, but none of them took to Krishna consciousness very seriously, and one of them was even very inimical. So ultimately, to take the mercy of a pure devotee is more important than birth. Now we see here that Narada is saying about Dhruva Maharaj that it was unexpected that he would take to Krishna consciousness in the way that he did, even though his father was a great personality. At that time, his father was apparently acting like a worldly person, being overly attached to his second wife, and actually behaving quite inconsiderately and cruelly towards Dhruva. So we don't find the description of Krishna conscious household as we find in the description of Parikshit Maharaj's birth. It appears that Dhruva Maharaj did not know about Krishna, because when he asked his mother, what should I do after being insulted by his stepmother, his mother could only think, well, Lord Vishnu can help you. God can help you. All right, so let me go and see him. Where can I find this person? Well, I don't really know. The yogis, they go to the forest and they perform austerities to try and see him. So I suppose he must be in the forest. Otherwise, They go there to see him, so he must be in the forest. So Dhruva Maharaj said, okay, I'm going to go and see Lord Vishnu. I'm going to go and find him in the forest. So he didn't previously have any knowledge of Vishnu. But he became so determined that I'm going to find out Vishnu. Doesn't matter, I'm a 5-year-old boy. He was serious. So Narad Muni saw this, and he knew that Dhruva Maharaj couldn't find Vishnu by himself. You have to know how to find him. He is in the forest. He's everywhere. He's in your heart. But you have to know how to find him. So you have to have a guru to teach you how to find him. So Narad Muni taught Dhruva Maharaj the process how to find Lord Vishnu. And Dhruva Maharaj became so successful in that process that he became a pure devotee. Many people perform what Srila Prabhupada calls time-serving devotion.
Time-serving.
Yeah, I'll explain. I don't know how you're going to say it in Russian because it's a term that Prabhupada made up. Temporary. But it's a term that Prabhupada brilliantly invented, which brings the meaning home more.
Can you repeat it?
Time-serving.
Time-serving.
You can't put it in Russian. What this means is that people, they do their worship for some time, and when they get the benediction they desire, they finish their worship. There's a system, just like you'll find there are different pujas. In India, you'll find there are different pujas. At different seasons of the year, different demigods are worshipped. Saraswati puja, Vishvakarma puja, Ganesh puja. So they make a deity out of clay, out of mud and straw, and paint it very nicely, and worship very nicely. Then it's time for visarjan, means sending the deity away. Time for worship is over. Take in a big procession to the river or the sea with a big bang of drums and throw them in the river. We did the worship, we got the benediction, and now go away. Don't bother us anymore. So this is time-serving devotion. Please, give me the benediction. Okay, thank you, get out of here. So Dhruva Maharaj was not a time-serving devotee. In the beginning, he worshipped Lord Vishnu for a material benediction. But by the force of his devotion and by the blessings of Narad, he came to understand that this material benediction is not the ultimate result of worshipping Lord Vishnu. He came to realize that Lord Vishnu himself is the object of his worship. He is not simply some cosmic order supplier, but he himself is the goal of all austerities, prayers, and devotion. And one drop, even a tiny grain from the dust of his lotus feet, is worth more than the greatest kingdoms of this material world. Dhruva Maharaj went searching for Lord Vishnu to get the greatest benediction. Suruchi, his mother-in-law, said, "You cannot sit on the throne of your father." So Dhruva Maharaj was insulted. Said, "What? You think you're so great with your kingdom? All right, I will not sit on the throne of my father. I will get another throne of a much greater kingdom. I will make your throne look like the third-class seat in the train compartment. I will become much greater than you can even imagine." So he desired what he considered to be the greatest benediction. Then when he saw Lord Vishnu, he realized that I was asking for the wrong thing. I came to the right place, I did the right thing, my intention was wrong. Therefore, he gave up the desire for a great kingdom and decided to be a pure devotee. But anyway, Lord Vishnu fulfilled that old desire of his. So Narad Muni was very pleased with him. He was praising. How wonderful that Dhruva Maharaj, he wasn't expected to come to such a position. He was just a young boy. You don't expect young boys to be very serious about Krishna consciousness. Even great sages and yogis who are very wise, they can hardly begin to understand what is devotional service. Narad Muni was very happily surprised at the success of his disciple. So Dhruva Maharaj had achieved the perfection of life by attaining to pure devotional service, and that was most pleasing to his guru. By pleasing the guru, one can attain the satisfaction of Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased with you, then your guru will be most pleased with you also. Because a Vaishnav guru wants to see his disciples become pure devotees. Once a devotee asked Prabhupada, "What will please you the most? What pleases you the most?" Because that was a time of very enthusiastic book distribution, and the devotee wanted to, it was like trying to get Prabhupada to say, "Well, if you distribute my books, that will please me the most." Prabhupada replied, "If you love Krishna." That this whole mission that Srila Prabhupada undertook had great personal risk undertaking so many difficulties. Prabhupada had at least 5,000 difficulties. That means at least 5,000 disciples. Disciple means, here's all my difficulties. Boom, you take. So Prabhupada took so much difficulty, and he said that if at the result of all this endeavor, even one of my disciples could become a pure devotee, I would be very happy. And then Prabhupada said, but I'm very lucky. Krishna has been kind to me. I have many sincere disciples. So this should be the goal of life for a devotee, to please Guru and Krishna by becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. Now, of course, there are many services we can perform in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And Krishna consciousness means to serve Krishna. Krishna consciousness means to understand, I am a servant of Krishna. But not simply with book knowledge, but in practical activities. Therefore, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have many activities in the service of Krishna. There are so many. Distributing books, holding festivals. Here in Moscow, we have the Radio Krishna Loka and the Prema Invest, which are all big activities in the service of Krishna. But we should always remember that all these activities, the ultimate result will be how we can increase our love for Krishna. Of course, it is the nature of service to Krishna that it enriches our devotion to Krishna. But we should never forget that at the time of death, we have to remember Krishna. Bhajan kara, shadan kara, marte jante hoy. Srila Prabhupada used to quote the Bengali saying that all our activities of bhajan and sadhana, they will be tested at the time of death. And ultimately, even in our preaching, this is the most attractive feature. We try to do everything in very nicely so that people will be attracted to Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, people want to see, what does Krishna consciousness do to you? People read our books, they become excited. Oh, this seems very wonderful. Then they may think, all right, let me visit the temple of Krishna and see what it's actually like. Because the test is in practical activity. We read about Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the associates of Lord Chaitanya. Great devotees. So, is it actually a fact? Does this work, this Krishna consciousness? When we go to the temple of Krishna, what kind of people do we find? So when people come, if they find bright, happy, people dedicated to God, they'll be very satisfied. But if they find everything is very dirty and unclean, devotees are talking mundane talk and maybe arguing with each other, they say, hey, this is just like normal life. This is theory only. It's a nice book, but that's as far as it goes. So this Krishna conscious preaching will ultimately be in the behavior of the devotees. Brilliant. How much we are advancing in Krishna consciousness. And if we don't advance in Krishna consciousness, then how can we bring others up to the platform of Krishna consciousness? In one purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that the spiritual master is not actually so much pleased if the disciple brings him a lot of money, but he's actually pleased when he sees that he's advancing in Krishna consciousness, becoming attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna. Now that doesn't mean that we should stop all other activities. Generating Lakshmi and Krishna's service are also required. So many activities are required. But we have to keep the focus on remembering Krishna. It's like Dhruva Maharaj was very strongly focused on becoming Krishna conscious. And therefore, despite his background, not coming from a background of Krishna consciousness, he was able to very quickly become fully Krishna conscious. So Dhruva Maharaj is a great example for all of us, how by his tremendous determination, he became a pure devotee of Krishna. So let us all pray to Dhruva Maharaj for the strength and determination to follow in his footsteps so that we can serve him and all other great devotees in disciplic succession and become pure devotees of Krishna and go back to Godhead. Actually, our aim is to satisfy our spiritual master. But he will be most satisfied if we become pure devotees of Krishna. So let us seriously try for that. Hare Krishna. Any question, please?
Есть ли вопросы, пожалуйста?
No.
Your Holiness mentioned in your class that our taking to Krishna consciousness doesn't depend upon our karma. But on the other hand, there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita where it stated that after performing pious activities for many...
I quote that verse? I started the class with that verse.
Anyway, I'm just retelling. For many, many births, one takes to devotion service, and such a soul is very, very rare. So in our case, that we took to Krishna consciousness, does this mean that we did a lot of all these pious karmas in the past or previous lives. So,
did everyone hear the question? Do you want to repeat it?
He clarifies it. Did we receive this first drop of devotee association in this very life or in the past lives?
Once Srila Prabhupada was asked that, Shastra states that those who have performed pious activities, they can take to devotional service. The devotee said that, but Prabhupada, none of us ever had any pious activities. So how is it possible we came to Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, I have created your pious activities. Pious activity of surrendering to Prabhupada's lotus feet, that's more pious than anything. Now, it may be there were some pious activities in previous lives. In the perfection of yoga, Srila Prabhupada writes that those who are performing devotional service now, it's generally understood that they performed it in a previous life, because that those verses are there in Bhagavad Gita where Lord Krishna says that the unsuccessful yogi takes birth in a family where he can get the opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness again. So commenting on that, Prabhupada said that generally those who take the devotional service have taken to it in their previous lives. It may be different in different cases, but anyway, we should understand that whether we perform pious activities and whether we were devotees in previous lives or not, we're taken to Krishna consciousness by the grace, causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna. Sometimes devotees, there's something called hypnotic regression, by which you are hypnotized and you are apparently taken back into a previous life, and there you see what you are doing. So some devotees, they're supposed by this method that they were a pujari or something like this, a brahmana. So some devotees were asking me, well, why don't you do it? I said, I don't need to. I already know what I was in my last life. I was an animal. I was an animal in this life also. I was saved by Srila Prabhupada. That's what I know. I don't know anything else. And to be born in a family of cow eaters isn't exceptionally pious. So even if you did do some pious activities in this life, in the past life, we really wiped them out in this life. So either way, you've got to take it that it's causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna. Some question?
Generally, it's understood that in order to achieve some goal, one has to clearly understand what this goal is. But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, we can see that he didn't have any a real clear idea of what he wants. But still, Krishna came in front of him personally, and he revealed the goal to him. So, in our case, does this also apply to us? That we, even though we may not clearly understand the goal, if we still continue doing devotional service, we will reach it, achieve it.
Well, in the beginning, none of us had a clear idea of the goal when we first started coming to Krishna consciousness. It takes some time to get a clear idea of the philosophy. In the beginning, we may be attracted by the prasadam or the atmosphere of the temple or the chanting or whatever it may be. So that is gradually revealed. Even after practicing Krishna consciousness for several years, we may think we understand, but suddenly we understand that we don't understand, that we only understand theoretically. If we really understood, then we wouldn't be fooling around. We wouldn't waste any moments. So how much have we understood? Yeah. Therefore, we should go on hearing and serving, and eventually Krishna reveals himself. Atashri Krishna nama adina bhavet grahyam indriyai sevan mukhe hi jivado swayam eva spratyada. Krishna reveals himself according to the degree of the service mode of the devotee. So even if we understand theoretically, all right, I have to serve Krishna. What is there to do in this material world anyway? What else should I do anyway in this material world? Even if we don't fully understand what Krishna consciousness is, or even if we think sometimes that, you know, it's very tough, still we should go on. Otherwise, I mean, what's the alternative? Go back home and drink vodka? What is the alternative? Cook some soup and keep it in the pot for 7 days? This is Russian culture, right? Sovietska? No. At least if you stay in the temple, I mean, you might complain the prasad's not that good, but at least you get fresh prasad every day. Yes.
You cited that story about Prabhupada being asked what pleased him the most. And his answer was that when one develops love of God.
If you love Krishna, yeah, that's what Krishna, he said. Yeah. Very simple and straightforward.
Yeah, if you love Krishna. And one may think that one can become a lover of Krishna even without participating in the preaching mission and book distribution. Is it the case?
Well, did everyone hear the question? Well, Prabhupada didn't say that. If you love Krishna in four words in English, how many in Russian?
Five.
Okay, so four words or five words, but behind that there's a lot of meaning. All the Vedas, Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, all the activities of all the devotees since time immemorial. This is the meaning of profound, when you speak a very deep truth in a very concise way. All right, now I saw at Bryansk Airport, while we had the usual half an hour wait for our baggage to come off, we saw they also have the they also have now got commercials on Russian TV, advertisement. So they're advertising that you spend money on dog food. If you make your dog happy, you will be happy, is the philosophy. And if you drink martini, then you will be happy, and smoke Marlboro cigarettes, and drive a Chevrolet car. So now is the time for the commercial section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. But we're not going to recommend martini or anything like that. It's a book by Bhaktivikas Swami called Vedanye Va Philosophy e Praktiku Sosnanya Krishna.
Haribo!
It's being sold for the very cheap price of 700,000 rubles. But for you today, very special price, only 7,000 rubles. So if anyone would want them, they can come and get it. Hare Krishna.